Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Matthew chapter 13. We're looking at another parable of Jesus Christ. Now, we all love good stories. And you look at the parables, most of them would be considered a short story. Well, tonight's parable is really the shortest of short stories, for it's a parable of 24 words. 24 words tonight is tonight's parable. And the parables of Jesus Christ have always had a deep interest for believers. I personally have never heard the preaching through a series of the parables. I've never studied the parables in any type of systematic order like we're doing in this study. So it's really intriguing for me. I'm interested in it. I was interested in it before, but now as I dig in it, it's even more interesting. There are picturesque stories of very familiar scenes of nature and of life and everyday human activity, and they're easily remembered. I'm sure if we went around and talked to individual Christians tonight, many of us would be able to talk about many of the parables of Jesus Christ. They delight us, they enlighten us, they're entertaining, but at the same time, they have a great truth for us. Some of the parables have very clear meanings. Some, even Jesus Christ gave us the meaning, as we've seen a couple of those. Like the parable of the sower. Or maybe the good Samaritan, or the lost sheep, or the lost coin, or the prodigal son. These parables leave very little room for interpretation, for Christ gives us that meaning. But some parables are more puzzling. None more so than the one we're going to look at tonight. Only 24 words, but it is very puzzling when you first read it. It is one of those parables that we look at the key word in this parable, and we have been taught in our Christian lives this word means something. And how can the kingdom of heaven be likened unto this thing? So we're going to jump into this parable tonight in verse 33 of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 33, in another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which is a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's the whole parable. 24 words. And my, it's confusing. My, it's confounds our minds to understand what is Jesus speaking of. He does not give us the meaning of this parable. But there, I believe, is a twofold understanding. If we're to understand this parable, I believe there is a twofold meaning that we can understand from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we can come to the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us all things about you. Illuminates the Scriptures for us that we might gain that understanding, that knowledge that we desire. Especially as we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, we desire to know what He was teaching and how it applies to us today. Instruct us, teach us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this parable of the leaven, I believe there's two keys that we must jump into immediately to understand this parable. First is its context. You know, you talk about context a lot from the church and from the pulpit and from the Bible. We have to know what was going on in the time that Jesus spoke this parable. But also the context of what's around it. This parable comes right after the parable of the grain of mustard seed that we looked at last week. So Jesus has a multitude that's around Him, and He has spoken and taught four parables in a row. And here we come to the fourth, the parable of the leaven. This parable that we looked at last week, the grain of the mustard seed, this parable is a story of something small, seemingly insignificant, producing enormous outward growth. So the parable of the grain of mustard seed is talking about outward growth from something very small. I could have that next slide, gentlemen. The parable of the leaven is a story about something, again, that is small, but it produces inward growth. So we have two contrasting parables here spoken right after one another. We have the parable of the grain of mustard seed, and the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that you can plant. And we saw as the seed when it dies, it can bring forth even a tree that birds can land on. And then we have the parable of the leaven. Leaven is like yeast in our language today. And it's a very small thing, but it produces enormous inward growth. Both are pictures of the gospel of grace going out into the world. The gospel has an outward effect, thinking of the grain of the mustard seed, it has an outward effect in that sinners who have been changed by grace come into the body called the church. And then the outward effect is changing lives in our community and around the world. But then the parable of the leaven is also a picture of grace, for the gospel has an inward effect as well. When an individual accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they become a new creature. So they now have an eternal destiny of heaven. And our internal worldview changes. We don't like the same things we used to like. We don't want to go to the same places we used to go. Our mind is changing as it's transformed, thinking of godly things, holy things, righteous things. This is the parable of the leaven. So let's look at the properties of what leaven is also. The properties of leaven help us to understand this parable. Now we can't look at what leaven is to understand this parable. We have to look at what leaven does. That is the focus of this parable. What leaven does, not what leaven is. Remember that. Matthew again, 13:33. With these thoughts, let's read the parable again. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The principle of this parable, if we had been present at this time when Jesus was speaking, we've been present in this multitude gathered along the shoreline that day to hear Jesus speaking and teaching, our hearts may have at first become discouraged at the first two parables. Because the first two parables are limiting, it seems, who is going to be in heaven. For in the parable of the sower, Jesus indicates that a small number of people will ever be receptive to the gospel of that good prepared soil. Not all that hear the gospel will receive it. Most human hearts are unreceptive soil, rocky and hard. The gospel hits it and bounces off and withers and dies. But there are those that's got the good soil ready to hear and receive the gospel. And then in the parable of the wheat and the tares we looked at a couple weeks ago, Jesus tells this crowd that the devil is doing all that he can to undermine God's work in this world. So here we have a parable of the sower and the seeds only getting to some of the good soil. And then we have a parable of the wheat and the tares, and we've got the devil trying to counterfeit everything God is doing, undermining God's work. He uses false brethren, he uses false prophets, preaching a false gospel and even has false messiahs counterfeiting the gospel. These are not overly encouraging descriptions of growth. So if we had been present on that shoreline, these first two parables were sort of going like, wow, who can enter heaven? But then he continues with the parable of the grain of the mustard seed. And he teaches that the seed of the gospel message, like the mustard seed, remember the good seed. That farmer had prepared and preserved it and protected that good seed. He knew he was planting a good seed. But in the parable of the grain of the mustard seed, that seed, that good seed, is the gospel message, and it's going to produce outwardly phenomenal growth. Now, if we were again back in Jesus' day, it doesn't look like it's going to have phenomenal growth. Jesus Christ and His followers are very small in number. And it seems like all the world is against the gospel message. Then he goes on and he talks about the parable of the leaven. And he's telling this crowd that's heard the parable of the good sower, and he's heard the parable of the wheat and the tares, and they've heard the parable of the grain and the mustard seed. He comes up and he says, let me tell you another parable, the parable of the leaven. He tells this parable, and all the Hebrew mothers that were there in the crowd begin to nod and to think, oh, what a good lad. He listened to his mother on how to cook bread. Bread was a staple in their life. They had it every meal. And they didn't always eat unleavened bread. They ate leavened bread constantly in their diet. And so those mothers are, wow, he has paid attention. He'll make someone a good husband. He listened and learned the lesson of how to break the bread. When we come to this point, though, of not just looking at the properties of leaven, let's look at the perception of leaven. This is not the first time in the Bible, nor is it the last, that Jesus would use leaven as an illustration of spiritual truths. In the New Testament, leaven is often symbolic of corruption and evil and wickedness. We hear this, and I've heard that all my Christian life, I've heard leaven is sin. Leaven is corruption. Leaven is wickedness. Leaven is evil. Again, what is leaven today but yeast? Is yeast evil? Yeast is neither good nor bad. So what is this leaven? If leaven only means sin, if leaven only means corruption, if leaven only means wickedness and evilness in the Word of God, then why does Jesus give us this 24-word parable telling us that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven? There must be another meaning to this word. And there quite is. It doesn't mean evil. It doesn't mean wickedness. It doesn't mean sin. What leaven means and symbolic of is an influence. It's an influence. Let me give you an example. Over in Matthew 16, Jesus is warning of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees, which included their teaching and their hypocrisy. Now, that teaching and hypocrisy can have an influence of evil. It can have an influence of corruption. It can have an influence of wickedness. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul is writing of the dangers of how a little leaven leavens the whole lump as he addresses the need to withdraw from fellowship from an unrepentant brethren. If we hung around that unrepentant brethren, then their influence would influence us negatively or towards evil or towards corruption or towards carnality or towards the world. So this has led some to conclude that leaven in the parable represents something evil. Well, the kingdom of heaven is not evil. And Jesus quite clearly states the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. So the point is not that leaven and hypocrisy are both inherently evil, but that they are both inherently influential. They are pervasive. They are powerful in their influence. The same is true of Paul's use of leaven. It is not that leaven is to be associated with immorality, but that both are inherently pervasive and powerful in their influence. Leaven in of itself is neither good nor bad. Yeast is nothing more than a microscopic one-cell fungus that multiplies rapidly under the right conditions. Leave a loaf of bread with a little moisture in the bag on the counter for 3 weeks and see what happens. You're going to have some fungus growing. Now, that's not evil in itself. Now, it looks pretty evil. It smells pretty evil, and it would probably taste pretty evil, but it is not evil in itself. It produces, this yeast produces enzymes which convert starch to sugar and the sugar to alcohol and then to carbon dioxide. The earliest foods made with yeast were made of this fungus, were beer and wine, but also bread. Bread. The staple diet for most of the biblical history we have before us. The simple way to cultivate your own yeast, if you want to grow your own yeast for your bread making, is the same way that Jesus did it, and they did it in Jesus' day. You take flour and you mix some water to form a batter. Then let it stand in a warm spot until the yeast starts growing. That mix is then called, for my bakers, that's called a starter. It's a starter. The baker takes some of the starter and he folds it into the batter of the flour and the water and the sugar. And then he waits. What he's waiting for is that yeast to start attacking the sugar and waits for the starter to affect the rest of the mixture. So leaven is not evil. Leaven is not wickedness. Leaven is not sin. Leaven is a catalyst. And a catalyst is something that causes change into the things it's mixed into. Not always negative, sometimes positive. It's an influential catalyst when it's mixed together with something else. In the case of bread, as the yeast multiplies and ferments, it gives off carbon dioxide, which causes the bread to rise and expand. So what is the meaning of this parable? This 24-word parable. Parables always have a central point. In the parable of the grain and the mustard seed, Jesus taught that the seed of the gospel message, like the mustard seed, would produce this phenomenal outward growth. And it did. You can go anywhere in this world today, and you will find a true believer. Every nation, every tongue, in every corner of the globe. That is like the grain and the mustard seed. It seems so insignificant, But then it was buried, planted, died. And look at the growth from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wherever you find believers, you find the kingdom of heaven at work. We support missionaries all over the world. And those missionaries are the result of the grain of mustard seed. But in the parable of the leaven, Jesus taught that the seed of the gospel message, the leaven, will produce phenomenal influence. Phenomenal influence. In the parable here, Jesus says that the housewife is to take small amount of starter, the leaven, and she's to hide it into three different measures of meal or flour. Christ is like the housewife, mixing the gospel into the meal. The Holy Spirit is like the housewife, mixing the starter, the leaven, into the meal. The small lump of leaven is the gospel of grace. And the three measures of flour, before the leaven is mixed in with it, represents individuals in the world. But then when the leaven is mixed in it, it's a Christian. In this simple story, Jesus is teaching His disciples, but also the multitudes, that a small bit of leaven will leaven this whole lump. The kingdom of God will eventually have an extraordinary influence throughout the world. So what's the lesson of this parable? First, the kingdom of heaven's influence will be pervasive. It will be widespread. It will be global. That is, having the quality to permeate, to spread, to flow throughout the world. I believe when it talks about the meal or the flour, before it's mixed together, it is the individuals of the world that are lost. The leaven, the starter, is taken, the gospel, and it's put in, it's received into the meal, and it becomes a child of God. Through God's people, the kingdom has gradually had its influence felt throughout the world. This does not teach, though, as some say, that the world will be saved. You know, it says there at the end of this verse, till the whole was leavened. Remember, it's not talking about the outward growth, it's talking about the inward growth. It's talking about the influence of the gospel, not the parable of the grain of the mustard seeds, outward growth of the gospel. Another lesson of this parable is the kingdom's influence is unobtrusive in its operation. I would dare to say that even the vast majority of Christians have never stopped to consider how the life of Jesus and His gospel has changed us. Oh yeah, we see the obvious. But think about how the gospel has changed you and me. His gospel has changed us. And it's still changing us. The course of our lives, but also the course of the world through Christians' influence. Like yeast, like leaven, causing dough to rise, the kingdom of God has slowly, thoroughly, and steadily influence not only our lives, but the lives of the world. Another lesson of this parable is that the gospel spreads through contact. Yeast multiplies as it feeds on sugar. The kingdom multiplies as Christians feed on the Word of God and spread the faith person to person. Let me give you an illustration of this understanding of this leaven here. When a Jewish girl was married, her mother would give her a small piece of leavened dough from a baked batch just before her wedding. It was the most precious gift that the Jewish girl could receive. It was a starter from her mother's batch of bread. From that gift of leaven, the bride would take her bread and she would bake for her husband and for her household using the starter and taking apart each time and setting aside for each loaf. And she would do that through her married life. That gift, simple as it was among the most cherished by the Hebrew girls, because it represents the love and it represents the blessedness of their house and their household from which they came, which they grew up in, and that would be carried into the household yet that they were establishing that starter. And that starter was an influence not just from the household she grew up in, but now it's going to influence her household and all the households that she touches. The same is true with the gospel. It's a gift that we share with family, and friends, and co-workers, and strangers. And as they receive it, they pass it on to others. Another lesson here I see in this parable is the influence of the gospel will be complete. That doesn't mean the world's going to be saved. What it means is, as we look at the flour, we look at the meal, and Jesus has said it's all going to be leavened, no part of the meal or the flour, that is the world, would be untouched by the influence of the gospel. The leaven of the kingdom has influenced all the world. Can you imagine what a world would be like if Jesus had never come as a baby? Many people over the course of history have made significant contributions to civilization in their particular field or endeavors, and their names are etched into history. But Jesus Christ, the greatest God-man who ever lived, has influenced every aspect of human life. Every aspect. There is nothing that He has not influenced. No field of study, no religion, no culture. Jesus Christ has influenced all. Jesus tells His disciples that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. It may seem insignificant, but its ultimate influence will blow your mind. You think back to Christianity's roots. It was small. It was humble. An individual, the greatest of individuals, had a band of 12 followers. And they went about a small footprint of the world and preached and did miracles for 3 years. He gathered a core of believers also who numbered about 120 at the time of His crucifixion. After He was buried and rose again, now we look at Christianity. There are billions upon billions upon billions professing believers around the world, past, present, and in the future. Untold numbers have been influenced with the gospel. Despite its humble origins, the church has influenced more change on earth for good than any other movement in history. That is the influence, the catalyst, the leaven that Jesus is speaking about in this parable. An author I don't often read, but this quote caught my attention was Dr. James Kennedy. He wrote a book a few years ago. I have not read the book. But it's called, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? That title describes the entire contents of the book. Kennedy would write on and say, consider some of the effects that God's kingdom has had on our world. Hospitals, universities, many of the greatest hospitals and universities were started by Christians and for Christian purposes. Literacy, education of the masses, capitalism, free enterprise, representative government, particularly as it's been seen in the American history. Civil liberties, the abolition of slavery, both in antiquity and in more modern times. Modern science, the discovery of the New World by Columbus, all were influential to Christianity, trying to influence others. The elevation of women, benevolence and charity organizations and work, higher standards of justice, the condemnation of adultery and sexual perversions that led to the protection of the family. A high regard for the sanctity of human life, the codifying and setting to writing of many of the world's languages, inspiration of some of the world's greatest works of art and music, all were because of the influence of the gospel. And then the most important, the primary goal of the kingdom of heaven is countless souls have been saved and lives changed. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners. Not to start a hospital, not to start a college, not to start a benevolence fund. He came to seek and to save sinners. All of the others are byproducts of faith and its transforming, influential power in the lives that it touched. The leaven. Many of us are probably familiar with the 1946 film classic, It's a Wonderful Life, where William Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, gets a chance to see what life would be like had he never been born. The main point of the film is that each person's life has impact on everybody else's life. Had they never been born, there would be gaping holes left by their absence. We that have the gospel, we can influence others for good. We can be a catalyst for change for good. The kingdom of heaven's like that. Had Christ never been born, had the gospel never been planted in the hearts of men, had men's lives never been changed by the grace of God, the course of the world would be so far different than what it is today. And we look at our world today and it looks so evil, so wicked. Oh, can you imagine a world without the influence of Christ? Can we imagine our lives without the influence of Christ? I was saved at 18, going on 19 years old. Oh, my life would have been tragic without the influence of Christ. I'm sure yours would be too. Don't lose heart. Don't look at what we see around us. Don't lose heart. The influence of the gospel is catalyst for change for good. Don't measure the growth or success of the kingdom solely by what we can see. The spread of the kingdom, the influence of the gospel, is taking place wherever the word of the kingdom is being sown. Fruit will be born as it falls on good, prepared soil. Remain confident. Remain steadfast. Persevere. That which began as a grain of mustard seed will become a great tree, we saw last week. That which started in one small portion of meal will eventually influence the whole loaf. So what are we supposed to do with this parable? We're to do our part. We are to have a leavening influence on others. We are to allow the leaven of the kingdom to permeate our life so it can impact others. Each of us needs to take the Word of God and hide it into our hearts, to cherish it, to read it, to love it, to meditate upon it. We must study it and seek to apply it to our lives. It's not just enough to read it. What we read, we must apply. We are to allow the Word of God to produce fruit in our lives so that we can become a leavening influence for God by our words and by our deeds. To who? Who are we influencing? And how are we influencing? We can have the catalyst for change for good in our hearts and lives and our deeds and our words. But we can also have a catalyst for change for bad. If we have a negative spirit, if we have a complaining spirit, if we have a griping spirit, that can influence others in the wrong way. We need to have a spirit of praise and joy. Now, we're not going to walk around this life constantly like that. We're supposed to, but we won't always. But our catalyst for good should outweigh our catalyst for bad as we grow closer to Christ. So who are we having a leavening influence towards? Is the kingdom visible in our lives? Has the leaven of God's truth so impacted the whole of your life that it manifests itself in all of your behaviors, even your thinking? We need to have a leavening influence. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, a catalyst for change, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, mixed it till the whole was leavened or influenced for the good. Who are we having a leavening influence to the good? Heavenly Father, thank you for this study. Oh my, I won't say it was easy. And it tore down some walls I had in my heart and mind of what I thought this meant. But thank you for sharing the truth, instructing us. Thank you for allowing us to be open to changing our thoughts and our ideas so that we can see what is right. Lord, help us to be a catalyst, an influence for the gospel, and not a catalyst that's in the hands of Satan that he can use for his evil purposes. Use us for your good. Help us to have that leavening influence to all that we come in contact with. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask it. Amen.